You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
How does a Christian gathering space at a state university benefit students who get to gather in that space, who get to share a story about an exciting thing happening at Michigan State University today?
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Trevor Sutton, Senior Pastor at St. Luke in Lansing, Michigan, and Adjunct Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Irvine. Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Sutton.
Absolutely. I'm excited for the conversation.
So you're a pastor in Lansing near the Michigan State University. Got to get the right one there. And a very exciting story happening right now about a Christian Studies Center happening at MSU's campus. But before we even talk about what's happening on the ground right now, let's talk about the concept of a Christian Studies Center. This was something that was a new concept to me the first time that you had posted it a few months ago. And I found it very interesting, a very intriguing concept. So what is a Christian Studies Center?
Christian study centers, they're a new concept, but really not. They're really kind of riffing on a very ancient part of the Christian tradition. So there's several different ways we can think about what a Christian study center is. One way we can think about it is it's at the intersection of the university and the Christian faith, where those two places come together. So the academy and Christendom. Another way you can think about it is sort of how do we bring to bear the Christian vision for life, learning, hospitality. How do we bring that to bear on academic disciplines and into the academic community? Other ways we can talk about what a Christian Studies Center does is it helps that faith work integration. So if you've got students on campus that are studying to be medical doctors, but they're also Christians, what does it look like to practice medicine as a Christian practitioner of medicine? Or if you're studying law, what does it look like to do that as a practitioner of law, but also a follower of Jesus? Same thing for education, business leaders, you name it. So kind of thinking about vocations is part of what study centers do. And then I think another way you could talk about it is, you know, that Christian intellectual tradition that goes as far back as like St. Augustine, but also people like C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, you know, folks like that, Tolkien, these folks that you ask the question, were they academics or were they apologists for the church? And I think they don't really know what they were, a little bit of both, right? And so that's really what a Christian study center does is try to stand in that liminal place between the university and the church and be that intersection, that bridge between the two.
Are there some examples of Christian study centers today, or where would we find some that already exist?
Yeah, I would imagine many listeners are probably not too far away from a Christian study center. There's about 40 of them in the United States. They're almost all connected to R1 universities, so your major universities. Some of the more noteworthy ones, the first one kind of in the U.S. Setting would be the University of Virginia, but Cornell has a Christian study center. The University of Michigan has one, so of course Michigan State has to have one to keep up with one another. I recently had the pleasure of speaking at a Christian study center in the Pittsburgh area that serves Carnegie Mellon and Pitt. There's a new one forming at UCLA in Los Angeles. And so there's a number of study centers around the U.S. and this movement. Again, it draws on a very long-standing tradition in the Christian church, but it's also kind of having a moment in the sense of people are really recognizing the need for or the appetite for intellectually credible Christianity and apologetics. People are really excited about this movement. So it's gaining momentum, you might say.
So you've had some familiarity with these types of study centers at other universities. Why is this concept intriguing to you, especially in the context where you are in Lansing, that East Lansing area with Michigan State University? Why is this idea interesting to you to be involved in?
Yeah, for me personally, I kind of joke. I've been trying to quit the academy for like 19 years now, and I just can't. So as a student for a very long time, you know, through the Concordias and then Concordia Seminary, and then a graduate student at Michigan State. So I'm an alum of MSU and then doing a PhD and now teaching for Irvine. So I just keep trying to quit the academy and I can't. So it's a personal thing for me, but also I'll tell you just kind of a personal story. When I was speaking at the study center in Pittsburgh, I was talking on a topic that's my area of expertise, artificial intelligence and technology. And there were students at Carnegie Mellon that were students of AI, soon to be practitioners of AI, that came to the faculty panel that I was on and the lectures that came to that because of their interest in artificial intelligence and their interest in their academic work, but also intrigued by the contributions the Christian faith has to that conversation. So some of them were lifelong Christians or professed followers of Jesus. Some of them were not. And some of them were saying, I'm intrigued by the ethical vacuum going on in these conversations in my classes, and I would like to draw on other resources to help me think about this. And the Christian faith is a resource for it. So they sort of came for A, which was their academic pursuit, but they also were intrigued by B, the Christian faith. And so I was amazed at how many students talked to me after these lectures saying, I'm studying AI, but I've also, for the first time in my life, been reading the Bible. And that's why I'm here today. And so to me, just the powerful place of conversation that is. And so having a personal interest in the intersection of the church and the academy, seeing how fruitful of a place that is for conversation, seeing that myself. And then my congregation is just, we're full of MSU faculty and staff and grad students and alum. And so my congregation personally has a heart for Michigan State. So kind of just all of these things coming together excited me and our congregation for being the kind of on the vanguard of this effort.
A moment ago, you used a phrase that I'd like to unpack a little bit more, and that is intellectually credible Christianity. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people walking around with the idea that Christianity is not intellectually credible. And that's not to say that there are forms of Christianity that are intellectually credible and forms that are not. I don't mean that. What I mean is people have not everybody, but there's a lot of folks with kind of a visceral assumption that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian, you've checked your brain at the door. That talking with the faculty that are part of this effort already at Michigan State, that it's difficult to be a credible scholar in one's field and also a professed Christian. And when I say difficult, they just see the environment that they're working in as being sometimes, what would you call it, difficult to do that in. And so when I use that phrase, intellectually credible Christianity, kind of synonymous with apologetics. Right? Apologetics is giving a defense of the faith or articulating the reasonableness of the faith and that sort of thing. So Christian study centers, what they help to do is, again, they're not explicitly apologetics centers, but they are seeking to put reason and the Christian faith into conversation with each other or give a credible articulation according to one's discipline. So if one is a lawyer explaining why the Christian faith makes one a more fruitful lawyer in the practice of law, that kind of thing. So that's what I mean by, yeah, it's a phrase that might have some baggage in some ways, but I think it's really what Christian study centers are seeking to do.
And just what you've seen in the people that you get to hang out with, what is it about the culture that we're in now, the time that we're in now, the way that our society functions that makes it, I don't know, maybe ripe for this kind of intersection of Christianity and intellectual conversation that the academia and the church, what is it about how we live right now that is causing all of these Christian study centers to be coming alive?
That's a great question. I think there's several kind of threads going on in there. I think one of the threads would be more related to higher education, but I think we've seen over the last couple decades, sort of a movement of removing liberal arts from education in primary education or secondary education. So the classics of society and the Western culture, and those things have largely been taken out of curriculum in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of people that are looking for that and recognizing there's a vacuum for the classics. And that's part of what this would be endeavoring to do is the classics of the Christian faith. How do we bring that back into the conversation? or even just the classics more generally, or a liberal arts foundation, which unfortunately a lot of R1 schools don't have that. So I think there's an appetite for things that have been removed in that sense. I think there's also an appetite for depth and seriousness that may be parallel to those other things. The advent of social media and doom scrolling and things like that. I've heard scholars in the field talk about it as, you know, we do a lot of jet skiing across the top of the surface of the water, but we're not doing much scuba diving anymore when it comes to topics and pursuing intellectual things. And so I think a lot of people are getting kind of tired of the jet skiing on the top of the water and would like a place where they're able to scuba dive intellectually. And it sounds strange, but even students at these major universities, because they go there kind of hoping that it's going to be a place where they spend time with like-minded individuals talking about the area of discipline that they're really excited about. And a lot of times the schools, for pragmatic reasons, are kind of focused on, you know, getting you your credits, getting you a job, career preparation, but not the pursuit of wisdom and knowledge and truth the way that a lot of students might have thought it was going to be. So I think to answer your question, there's a lot of factors that are getting people excited about a place where you can really do what universities have done for generations, which is the pursuit of wisdom, knowledge, and truth, not just getting a job.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Trevor Sutton. We're learning about the development of a Christian study center. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared to serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
KFUO Radio has proclaimed Christ crucified and risen for more than 100 years, and you have helped make it possible. As Share-a-thon approaches April 30th through May 2nd, we invite you to partner with us again. Your gifts sustain faithful Lutheran teaching, worship, and encouragement for listeners everywhere. Join the mission at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Reverend Dr. Trevor Sutton. He's senior pastor at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan, and adjunct professor of theology at Concordia University in Irvine. We're talking about the development of a Christian study center. Pastor, tell us where this idea began for developing a Christian study center near you.
Several factors kind of came into the idea. One of them would be, I referenced this earlier, but doing some speaking on the area of technology, I'd been invited to study centers, Christian study centers at other universities. So I had seen that model firsthand and the power of it. But also my congregation, we have a ton of people. I would say it's 80% of our congregation has some direct connection to Michigan State, MSU faculty, staff, grad students, alum, season ticket holders, sent a grandkid to the school. I mean, something like that. So just so many folks have a connection. So there's a great heart for Michigan State. The other thing that was really exciting about the whole endeavor, our congregation did a capital campaign a while ago. And that capital campaign was for some facility needs we had, also for future church workers and raising up future church workers. But we actually, at the encouragement of members of the congregation, we had a stretch goal that was beyond the sort of known needs that we had. And that stretch goal was, quite honestly, it was, where's God leading us next? And so we, by God's grace and the generosity of God's people, we hit that stretch goal. So we had this kind of dry powder for ministry. we honestly pursued a few other ideas that really just didn't gain a lot of traction, different ideas that we thought were ministry endeavors that the Spirit was calling us to, and sort of like, trying out wrong filaments in a light bulb. We tried one and it didn't work. Tried another one, it didn't work. And this is the one that really took off. And then what was really exciting about it is once we started endeavoring toward this, we started reaching out to other student ministries at Michigan State, faculty, other folks in the area. And we just found this incredible confirmation that more and more and more people were saying, hey, we've been thinking about starting a Christian study center at Michigan State. We've been exploring this. We've been considering this, praying about this. So just a lot of goodwill and interest amongst different people in the community at large. And so that's been super exciting. So yeah, the idea was prayer, the Holy Spirit, the generosity of God's people, seeing some other models, and here we are.
Yeah, it's very exciting. What kind of collaboration goes into doing something like this? Because is this a ministry of your church? I want to be clear about the structure of how this is actually happening. Is this a ministry of St. Luke, or is this something that's actually done through the university?
That's a great question. And honestly, we are building that plane as it lands, because this is a relatively new endeavor and so forth. It would not be a function of the university proper, but it would be a ministry closely, that would be, what would you call it, in close connection to the university. The university has, you know, various sponsored, if you will, or sanctioned kind of ministries. And so that's what it would ultimately end up being. And that gets you access to facilities on the university, that sort of thing. But really, so this would be, my congregation is at the vanguard of initiating this, but it would end up being a 501c3 autonomous from St. Luke. The beauty of it, and the challenge, if you will, too, the beauty of it is being on the vanguard of it, we get to kind of set the direction of it and set the conversation more broadly, and knowing that this would be a thing that serves in the community at large, that serves on MSU's campus, but also bringing our unique Lutheran identity to it, our Lutheran tradition, our Lutheran theology to this in a way that you know, the broader community, but that also holds that integrity of who we are.
So what kind of collaboration is happening? Because as you're saying, this is a very, very new thing, kind of building it as you're going. That obviously you and St. Luke are very closely involved in the process. How is that working then with other organizations? What kind of collaboration is happening to really bring this to life?
Yeah, so there's obviously other Lutheran congregations, LCMS congregations in our circuit and in our area. And those are kind of some of the folks that we've engaged first with this. Then what's neat is they have access to MSU faculty, MSU staff, and so forth. So kind of multiplying our efforts, and then also working with other student ministries at MSU, other student ministries that serve that community. But what's been really kind of helpful is since we're setting the agenda for it, if you will, or the trajectory of it, we get to help guide that in a way that creates the best circumstances for collaborating across traditions. And what I really mean is this: what we are doing with the study center is not what other student ministries are doing at MSU. As we've talked with other student ministries, whether Lutheran or other traditions, their bread and butter is really worship, and their bread and butter is discipleship and Bible studies. And those are kind of the top one, two, and three things. And it's been really nice. We've been able to come in and say, well, that's great. We're not doing any of those things, and we're not seeking to do those things. If that's really kind of the primary discourse, if you will, what we're doing in the study center is almost secondary discourse. And so being able to read the classics of the Christian faith, say St. Augustine's Confessions or something like that, we can use a reading group around that almost as a ecumenical basis. And again, letting them pursue the worship that they're doing in these different student ministries, that sort of thing. But being able to say, here at the study center, we're not doing worship, we're not doing Bible studies, we're not doing a discipleship. What we are doing is facilitating that secondary discourse of the Christian classics, facilitating the discourse around what you're learning at MSU, and then being able to send students, as is appropriate, to congregations, to the Lutheran congregations that are part of this effort, or if they're coming from a different tradition, help them find a church within their tradition, that sort of thing. So it's been a challenge navigating that. Without a doubt, that's been hard. But it's also really interesting to use these classics that really the Christian church as a whole has benefited from, and to use that as a basis of collaboration.
What difference does it make to offer this in person? You know, there are so many opportunities for connecting online. How does having an in-person type of experience like this, learning, make a difference?
One of the key things in a Christian study center is the focus on hospitality and the focus on friendships, which I know sounds like a strange, like, why is it about friendships? But collegiality or academic friendships and that intellectual friendships, any of those sorts of things. And I would argue, especially as a scholar of technology, that digital media allows for discourse, words, and maybe logos kind of learning. That can happen fairly well through mediated technologies. But hospitality or friendship or collegiality and relationship building, that's probably some of the things that digital media is most inept at. And most ill-equipped to do. And so I would answer your question. Part of a study center could be done remotely and at a distance, but the hospitality, the intellectual friendships, the relationship building, a key part of this is faculty fellows and providing a place for Christian faculty for fellowship and collegiality amongst faculty at MSU. That's a hard thing to do remote and from a distance. And on top of that, with this being geographically centered around MSU, most of the epicenter of it really is going to be on campus and in the community. Certainly, Michigan State alum will be interested in this, and they're spread out all over the world. But where the center is, we don't really need to do too much with Zoom because we're all there.
What are you looking forward to? I know this is new. This is very exciting. You've described a lot of really exciting things that are happening, both for the people planning, but also for students that are able to be involved. What are you looking forward to the rest of this school year, but into the future as you really get things rolling and get things more solidified and official with everything? What's exciting for you?
Yeah, so the rest of this school year, I think, is about 2 weeks to go. Okay. So the students are not thinking about what's next here. We're really setting our sights. We had an inaugural event about 3 weeks ago now, and we were just blown away by how successful it went. It was a packed room, just about standing room only. It was a faculty panel discussion, and it was just incredible. And so we were so encouraged by that, and the momentum and the excitement from faculty, grad students, staff, undergrad students, everybody. That's propelling us to look at next semester and the fall semester. And so we're working on programming for that. And the plan is several different things. We're going to have a Christian classics book discussion group. That's sort of a group of students that are going to be part of a cohort reading several Christian classics with a faculty mentor. We're going to have several lunch and lecture gatherings. And those are like a Friday afternoon lunch and lecture on campus where it's a faculty from MSU or maybe an outside speaker, but talking about a topic that has to do with the Christian faith and the connection to the academy. We're working on a faculty fellows group for next academic year, and then also some kind of pop-up study hall gatherings too. And so we've got a lot of things that are in the pipeline, and we're just excited that there's so much enthusiasm behind it. And what we're looking forward to is seeing those things come to fruition for the benefit of the Christian faith, the benefit of MSU's campus and community.
Yeah, so many exciting things happening. I kind of want to go be a student so I can go to some of this stuff. It sounds really great. I have my own academic pursuits here, though, so that is not a thing for right now. If people are interested in knowing more about what a Christian Study Center is, or the one specifically at MSU, is there a way they can find information or contact for that?
It's a great question. So there is a, for the study centers generally, there is a consortium of Christian study centers. And so looking into that would be an appropriate place to kind of learn more generally about the movement. And then I think reaching out to me would probably be the best place to keep the conversation going about this one specifically. So if there are any folks that are intrigued by this, would like to learn more, that sort of thing, I'd say head over to St. Luke's website, drop me an email, and we can keep that conversation going.
Fantastic. We'll put those links in the show notes for people to find them easily. The Reverend Dr. Trevor Sutton, Senior Pastor of St. Luke Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan, and Adjunct Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Irvine. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.